Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say! Brilliant!
Oh, this young man is a sensation! Dele Alli, out of League One, into the Premier League! Oh, what a goal! It's Danny Rose on his Premier League debut!
Sheringham Fleck and Klinsmann is in!
He's got it lost under his feet, and it's come from the middle!
Welcome back to another edition of the Internet's Most Dangerous Tottenham Hotspur Podcast for a low-energy edition. I am your host, Skipjack. This is the official podcast of Cartilage Free Captain, and I am joined by my old faithful, my steadfast sidekick, Ben Daniels, and that is it today. We are unified together in mourning. Ben, how's it going?
It's been better. I can safely say that. I'm disappointed in the rest of our podcast team for not having the stomach for the fight, you know, to give it all and stick by the pod all the way to the bitter end. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, you know, Ben, the reason you and I are here, the reason you and I revived this podcast was our dedication to the shirt. And you can't expect mercenaries like Michael Cayley, who just sells himself to whatever, you know, online outlet will take him to stand by us in our darkest hours. So, or Brian, who I presume is just buried under mountains of cocaine, which fair enough.
He's just here to collect one final payday before he retires.
Exactly. Well, he is getting up there in podcast years. We don't know how much longer he can effectively podcast the level we expect from him. He'll probably go to an MLS podcast soon, is my best guess.
I'm sure Mechanic will be waiting with open arms.
Well, only if he brings DeAndre Yedlin with him. In any case, we have a game to discuss. Tottenham Hotspur drew 1-1 with West Bromwich Albion at White Hart Lane this past Monday, probably all but mathematically eliminating Spurs' title hopes. I think if we win out and Leicester lose out, we could still theoretically win the title. But
Leicester can lose and draw two.
Oh, well.
And if we win out, they just can't get 3 points.
It doesn't. Yeah, well, I think we all know that a capricious and vengeful God is not going to allow that to happen. So, yeah. Spurs' title dream is effectively over. I don't know how much I actually want to talk about this match. It was intensely aggravating in that Spurs were on top for the beginning of the match and were pretty unlucky to have only scored one goal. Harry Kane had one bounce off the inside of the post. Eric Lamella hit the woodwork. There was another post off or a hit off the post. It was just a really very aggravating game. And one that I feel like, honestly, I've seen a few people point this out on Twitter, but we've had one too many of these to probably win the title this year. Ben, do you have any thoughts on this match in particular that you would like to share?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of it. It's we've had one too many of these. You know, we've seen this unfold way too many times this season. And
I don't know about,
you know, not to
talk about way too many times to win the title,
right?
Not way too many times, right? In general,
by and large, you know, we have fought well, we have fought till the bitter end, we've pulled results out of our ass, you know, we have turned the screw when we're down and really piled on, you know, games like that Watford game where, you know, we just hammered the goal until we finally made a late breakthrough. You know, we've seen this team fight and pull it off, but the difference between winning the league and not, as we see, is those just few games where no matter how much we huff and puff, we can't get that goal. It's frustrating, you know.
Or we can't keep them out of that goal, which is the other frustrating thing, given how good our defense is.
So, yeah, I mean, we played well, especially the first half. I thought we were phenomenal. Our counterattacks, you know.
I thought it was going to be a 4-0 match. I thought we were going to blow them off the pitch. Like,
yeah, when we came out, it felt very much like the first half against Stoke, where we came out like lightning. We were all over them. We were countering really well. We were creating a lot of chances. You know, we scored one, and we went into halftime. Things a little nervous, but we kind of figured things would keep going the same way, and eventually that breakthrough would come. And then it never really happened, and then we kind of fell apart.
West Brom was putting us under pressure, but you know, they scored on a set piece, which you know, even if you rehearse them, even if you defend them well, there's just an element of luck involved in a corner, rather, you know, that you can only do so much to control. And, you know, our luck ran out, which, like you said, happened one too many times this year.
Yeah, so it's frustrating. It's especially frustrating to me because, you know, while intellectually I could look at the schedule and say, you know, West Brom's a tricky game, in my heart, you know, I figured if we were going to fuck this up, if we weren't going to win the league, it would be to something like Chelsea where, you know, you say, well, it's Chelsea. They hate us. They're a good team, even though they're having a bad season.
There's
shit
enough
happens.
Good players on that team to take points off
that,
anyone.
You know, or like Newcastle on the final day, Andros Townsend hits a 25-yarder. And that's like the kind of karma we've come to expect.
I don't think I could live through that.
In my match prediction, I think I said, today is not the day we die. And I really, really regret those words. But, I mean, that's really what I never considered that possibility.
Yeah,
that West Brom was going to be where it all ended. That's just so anticlimactic.
You know that you shouldn't take West Brom lightly because, I mean, you saw it in the last 20 minutes after their goal. They know how to defend. They protected that point extremely well. This isn't just the team. This isn't a team just putting 11 behind the ball. When they do that, they have a plan and they execute it well. I mean, even before that, I thought they did a good job of sort of limiting the kind of chances we were able to take before we scored our goal. But yeah, intellectually, I know exactly what you're saying. You say things like, oh, it's West Brom. Oh, it's Pulis. Oh, they're gonna scratch out a 1-0 win or a 1-1 draw. And, honestly, when I was saying stuff like that, it just felt like superstitious sports fan stuff. I didn't feel that in my soul the way I felt like, oh, Chelsea's either going to hammer us when we play them or they're going to, you know,
throw the game against Leicester.
Exactly. Like, that was something I was legitimately scared of. This, you know, you just feel like you're sort of going through the motions when you talk about, oh, well, Pulis is a good team and da-da-da-da-da, you know. Or even the Newcastle game. Like, that would have felt more, like, I would have had more dread approaching that game. In a weird way, if this was going to happen, obviously I would prefer us to win the title, but if we were not going to win the title, I am glad it did not happen on the last day, because I don't know about you, Ben, I was extremely angry and bitter after this match. I was really down in the dumps. I was, you know, I would have kicked the dog if I had one. I'm glad I'm getting this out of my system with a few games to go, so when the season's over, I can sort of appreciate this team and really what has been a spectacular season for Spurs, and not just a spectacular season in the way that we had a few years ago. Like, I feel like this, and we'll talk about this probably a little bit later in the questions, but I feel like you're seeing something that we can really genuinely build on, as opposed to just a year where everything's going our way, although both of those things might be true. But I'm glad I'm going to have some time to process this, and it's not just I'm going to go into the international, like, or into the summer break incredibly bitter and frustrated.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I would have liked to have fought till the bitter end, even if we lost. But emotionally, it's certainly easier on the soul.
I would like to give Spurs as many chances to win the title as possible. But, like, emotionally, I see, like, there are, if it was never going to happen, there are good things about the way that this all went down, I suppose.
You know, Leicester are going to lose their next game to United, and then we're going to have, like, that glimmer of hope rear its ugly head again. And we're going to start thinking, well, maybe.
Yep. And then we'll go into the last day with a chance, and I'm going to hate my life all over again. No, I would love to go in the last day with a chance to win the title, but, like, I will be an emotional wreck that day. So here's hoping that I am an emotional wreck in 3 weeks. But given the way Leicester are playing right now, given the teams they have left on their schedule, I'm just not. I mean, it's just highly unlikely.
I mean, United, Everton, and Chelsea. I'm going to talk myself into this.
Everton. Ben, Everton.
Look, they
Everton
lose to United. They draw Everton.
No.
And then we're looking at Chelsea needing a draw on the final day of the season. And we can
do this,
it.
Ben. Don't do this. Everton or Everton. Everton wouldn't have anything to play for if they weren't trying to get Roberto Martinez fired.
That's true.
I suppose the most disappointing thing is, like, Christian Eriksen clearly knew about this and he didn't do anything to stop it, which, you know, why do you even have a Time Lord on your team if you're not going to take advantage of that?
Such waste.
I feel like I would be remiss to I would be doing our listeners a disservice if I did not if I'd not get an update. I'll record over that. Is all well in the house of Daniels? Is did your Arsenal supporting wife is she laying it in, or are you surviving, or are you looking for a new apartment?
No, I mean, as always, my wife has been very supportive. I came home from work. She already had a drink ready for me. You know,
well, she does
know.
No, she doesn't. When's the last time Arsenal lost the title this late?
That's true. Yeah, she has no idea what we're going through. She's usually made her peace with it before March. You know, but yes, she's sympathetic. And, you know, she, I think I mentioned this on a pod previously, had said she would rather Spurs win the league than Leicester because she wanted me to be happy, which is great because
plastic
I would never say the
American,
same thing for her.
Plastic American.
Yeah. Her brother, however, has been less sympathetic.
Well, her brother also thinks that, like, Koscielny should be on.
Yeah, he was mad that Koscielny and Monreal were not included in the team of the season alongside Mesut Ozil. But that's neither here nor there. So yeah, things are fine at home. You know, we're getting through it.
So speaking of Arsenal, let's talk about that. So for the rest of the year, I think the clear like thing that Spurs need to do is finish above Arsenal now. Like if we can still win the title on the last day, that's great. But we essentially need to like shoot the moon while riding a motorcycle over a high wire to make that happen. So let's not. Like, that's just going to play out how it's going to play out. Let's not worry about that for now. What the thing I think that most Spurs fans realistically want to see happen at this point is finishing above Arsenal so we can shove St. Totteringham's Day up their ass.
Yeah, so for this to happen, mathematically, we need 5 points to finish ahead of Arsenal and 4 points to finish tied with Arsenal and ahead on goal difference.
So we need a win and a draw, essentially.
Right.
Which we should... should be able to pull off somehow.
Newcastle and Southampton.
Yeah.
That should be 4 points.
So here's my question. In light of Dele Alli maybe being suspended for the rest of the season.
He is. It's come out. We haven't had a chance to appeal.
Exactly.
But,
so it might not be the entire season, but he's going to miss at least a game or two, if not.
No. I'm pretty sure they said it's three games.
Yeah, but there's an appeal process. So... let's assume for the sake of argument he's not playing the rest of the year, because I think that's probably what's going to happen after what happened to Vardy. Dele Alli's out for the season. Eric Dier got hurt in the game. It seems as though he'll probably be able to play again.
Yeah, concussions are nothing. You just shrug those off.
I'm not sure if it was a concussion, but let's hope it wasn't. But yeah, it looks like he'll be back. I mean, are you concerned about finishing ahead of Arsenal at this point, beyond just general sort of Tottenham fan worst case scenario imagining?
No, I mean, I think, you know, we have rarely seen the best out of Heung-Min Son this season, but I am pretty comfortable slotting him into the team and seeing what he can do. As long as we didn't get Chadley or Mason in there.
How bad were we when Mason came on? Jesus
very,
Christ.
Very bad, but this is not surprising, and I don't want to belabor that because I know our audience is not has had their fill of Mason bashing. But
well, he hasn't given us a good
they
reason.
Know.
He hasn't given us a good reason to do it in a while. This was a good reason. He was very bad. And honestly, part of the reason I think that we didn't get back in this game after West Brom's goal, other than West Brom did their West Brom thing very well, was we didn't have Dier on the pitch anymore. And I thought it really affected us.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of those things that we've been very lucky with all season, that Dier has managed to play the number of minutes that he has, because we're just such a different team without him because we have nobody who can replicate what he does. So it was kind of inevitable. Ryan Mason just made it worse. Back to your question though, I think Son is good. I think he'll be fine. I think we'll be fine. I'm not really worried about it at all. Is that optimistic of me?
No, strangely so. Looking at the remainder of Arsenal's schedule, they have Norwich, City, and Villa. Now, that's 3 points all the way. City still is probably going to have something to play for that week. And Norwich, as bad as they are, they're going to have something to play for this weekend. They're not relegated yet. I mean,
no, Norwich are in a fight with Sunderland and Newcastle to see who survives. Norwich looked bad. I think that's probably an easy 3 points for Arsenal, but
they didn't look great again. I mean, I know Sunderland is a better team than Norwich. I mean, but they
if you
not
just look at like the trajectories lately, Sunderland have been kind of in a mini resurgence. They look like they're fighting.
Except
Norwich
when they were playing
like
Leicester. Except when they were playing Leicester.
Right, of course. That's not how it works. Norwich looks like they're just in a tailspin towards relegation.
You're not wrong. I would say that Arsenal's form has not looked great lately, but generally, I guess that Crystal Palace game aside, they're not looking great against teams that are playing well. So yeah, they're probably going to beat Norwich.
City have the Champions League still. I believe they play Arsenal after their second leg against Real Madrid.
Oh, good.
Or before.
Oh, good.
Either way, it's not going to be great for City's lineup.
Look, this isn't about Arsenal. Like, if we take care of business.
Right. Arsenal can win out as long as we don't shit the bed for the rest
of
the season. We're fine.
So you're not worried without Dele Alli? And, I mean, how scared
I would feel better.
Yeah.
Certainly.
So
I mean,
how scared would you be if Dyer is going to miss time? Because that's what terrifies me.
Yeah, I think that is definitely a bigger concern. I mean, again, we have no real replacement for him. It means playing Moussa Dembele as the deepest midfielder.
Now,
with
I think
one of Mason, Tom Carroll, Eriksen, just nothing.
I think we set up differently.
Fires confidence.
I think we set up differently. I mean, I think there's a certain element of like scrambling to get back in that game, and you know, that's just not a situation to sort of disrupt our midfield like that, like what we had this weekend or on Monday. But I think, you know, if we go into a game knowing we're missing them, maybe we'll play a little better. I don't know. I'll feel a lot better when we're firmly ahead of Arsenal and in the Champions League next year. And it is, you know, I know that some people are saying it's a small time thing, but it's going to feel like it's not just that we're finishing above Arsenal for the first time in forever. It's that they've been such dicks about it for such a long time. It's going to feel really good to have at least a summer where we can just stick it up their tailpipe and just be, you know, humongous assholes about it. And I don't know about you, Ben. I'm planning on being a gigantic dickhead about finishing above.
Absolutely. It cracks me up because Arsenal fans are going to be like, oh, look at Tottenham making a big deal out of this.
Oh, their best season in forever. I mean,
like acting like it doesn't matter when it's like mattered so much to them for so long. I'm just going to get such a kick out of that.
No, like think about this. Like 10 years ago, Arsenal was in a Champions League final. Like they were in the final of the Champions League playing Barcelona and almost winning with like, what, 10 men? And now the biggest highlight of their season 10 years later is Spurs missing out on the league title with 4 weeks to go. And 2 weeks to go, honestly, because we can't be mathematically eliminated until next week. So like, you know, good work, guys. Maybe you shouldn't have made it a holiday for the last 10 years because now we're going to be total assholes about it.
Yep, I look forward to it.
It's going
to
be great. And we should feel good about it because this is a year to feel good about. So let's get into questions because I don't think either of us wants to labor upon this specific game anymore. Our first question comes from Shooting Boots on our site. He wants to know, is this season a fluke? We're hearing all the platitudes of a great Spurs future and all that jazz, but the same thing was said of Liverpool in 2013-14. With Guardiola and Conte incoming, possibly the return of Mourinho, Arsenal being Arsenal, and Klopp getting who he wants in the transfer window, do Spurs truly have a great future ahead, or is it a regression to the mean? I know what my thoughts are on this, Ben, but I'd be curious to hear where you think Spurs are going from here.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the big difference between us and Liverpool that year is they lost Luis Suarez, and we will not lose a Luis Suarez. So that's big. I mean, we don't have, like, a major rebuilding. We're not going to have our best players gone and have to, you know, start from scratch again.
Well, and this is a cohesive unit, too. That was a team that, yes, Suarez, there were lots of other talented players on the team, but they were really built around Suarez.
Right, that was much more like our season when we lost Bale, Bale carried us as far as he could, and then without him, we really struggled to put anything, you know, comprehensive together. You know, this team is going to be back next season completely intact of everybody who matters. So, yes, I mean, we are going to get better. Now, whether that translates to another title run or a guaranteed top four finish, you know, probably not. I mean, maybe. It just all depends on what happens. But I don't think that takes anything away from the direction Spurs are heading and what we're building.
I think that's a really good point because, like I said, there's if we lost a Kane or an Eriksen, that would hurt. But we're not built around those guys the way we were built around Bale, just for a Spurs point of reference. And I don't think we're losing any of them next year. And I think we can probably hold on to them for a while, which is good. But I think it's impossible to look at the way Spurs have played this year and not feel good about this team moving forward. I mean, Kaylee's pointed out on this podcast before when he wasn't, you know, cowering in fear of our dark future. He has pointed out that we got extraordinarily lucky this year with things like injuries and players hitting form at the right time and all this other stuff. But also look at, you know, like Kane didn't score for how long. Eric Lamella was trash for a few weeks at the beginning of the year. This team took a little while to gel together. Look at where would this team be if Danny Rose was where he is now against Man United at the beginning of the year. There's a lot that could go wrong and probably will go wrong for this team next year that we didn't have to deal with this year. But at the same time, I mean, the system we play is excellent. I mean, we figured it out. We know how to play. And obviously teams are going to game plan for us differently next year. But they're an exciting team. And, you know, are we going to be in the title race? Like, maybe, like you said, maybe, maybe not. There's going to be a lot more competition. A lot of teams, you know, it could go either way. Like, if United bring Van Hall back, I'm not worried about them at all. But, you know, City under Guardiola, I don't think they're going to roll up the Premier League, at least not in his first year. But, yeah, they're going to be a lot more dangerous than City this year. And, you know, Klopp is probably going to be a lot more dangerous next year. But, you know, as much as we love Klopp and it's probably going to work out for him, like, or as much as people who watch Liverpool are loving what he's doing with that team, like, they're still dropping dumb points. They still
dropped a 2-0 lead over Newcastle last week.
Yeah, like, or a 3-0 lead to Southampton. I mean, they still have problems in a way that, like, you know, are much, much bigger than ours. And they're going to have to as much as everyone's saying Klopp's going to have a transfer budget next year, Klopp's going to bring in all these players that he wants on all this stuff. And I think that's all true. He's still got to get them integrated in the squad. He's still got to get them playing well. And Spurs, hopefully, are going to hit the ground running next year. And I don't know if there's a title challenge in the works because Leicester's probably not going to be there next year, but City might, or Arsenal might, or United might if they hire Mourinho. I mean, or Klopp might even be there with Liverpool, but, you know, all those things are up in the air, and Spurs probably have the most stability of all those teams, and I don't think that's anything to scoff at either.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of possibilities of what those big teams are going to do next year, but I think with the exception of Arsenal, Spurs have the least work to do, you know, to improve. You know, Chelsea have to get to as good as we were this past season before we have to really worry about them getting win the title out of walk good
with a new coach and probably who's new to the league. And I think Conte's a good coach, but, and he's probably going to have to integrate some, at least one or two major players in the squad. So unless Chelsea get Pogba, which I guess is possible.
Yeah. Or like Hazard and Matic, like, magically become good again.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm not,
which is also, I guess, possible.
Yeah.
But
I mean, if
there's
just
a lot of ifs,
exactly.
And we have a lot fewer question marks.
Like, I mean, Ben, just, this isn't in the question, but I mean, we've talked about this on the podcast. I don't think there's an obvious upgrade for Spurs starting 11. I think what we're going to see is Spurs are going to improve their depth next year. So we have another midfielder we can rotate in. So we have another striker we can rotate in and use for different looks. We're probably going to work Son into the rotation a lot more next year now that he's had a year to adapt to England, understand what Pochettino wants, understand how his teammates play. I mean, I think it's, you know, Spurs have to tweak around the edges where, I mean, all these other teams really have to pop the hood and really start pulling parts out of the engine, for a really tortured metaphor.
I don't necessarily agree that there's no one to upgrade. I mean, you know, we're still not Barcelona or Bayern Munich. There's always
no, but within Spurs' financial reach and given the buy-in top Pochettino's gotten from some of these players, like, I don't think you're going to see us. I don't think we're going to buy a player who's going to put, you know, Moussa Dembele on the bench in a, you know, non sort of, you know, maybe Dembele's riding the pine a little bit more next year, but that's just because we're working a rotation that keeps him fresh. I don't think we're going to get anyone who just relegates these players to the bench, because I think there's buy-in, and I think there's not, you know, for what Tottenham can spend, there's not obvious upgrades in a lot of places.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk more about that later. I think we have a question about about transfer targets.
We do.
But, you know, just going back to the sort of situation for our future, I think the last time I felt this sad about Spurs was the last Redknapp year when Chelsea won the Champions League.
Yep, same.
And, like, that was devastating in a similar way, but it just – it felt so different. I mean, the first thing I wrote for the site was in the wake of that, just about how – bad it felt seeing this team come so close and blow it, because that felt like the ending of something. Like, Modric was gone, we knew that was happening. You know, Redknapp was gone, we were gonna have to get in a new coach. Well, yeah. Van der Vaart was gone. Like, it was like the end of an era, and you never know what's gonna happen next. This feels like the dawn of something new, like the first chapter in a new Spurs story. And so that's really what gives me hope. Like, Pochettino's not going anywhere. Like, that's not happening. You know, we have our coach and our system back for another year. Dele Alli's probably going to go to Real Madrid one day. That day is not this summer. You know, Harry Kane probably locked in for another year. All of these guys.
Like, Eriksen's not going anywhere. Yeah. This whole team's coming. Everyone we want coming back next year.
Right. And, you know, not to just, like, beat a dead horse there, but I cannot stress how important that is to what comes next.
Yeah, and it's sad. This is probably, I can only think of one other team in any sport that I've ever followed that I've enjoyed watching as much as this Spurs team. And it sucks that they're not going to win the title, because if there's any Spurs team up until this point that I wanted to see win the title, not just because of how good they were, because how much I enjoyed watching them, how much I liked them as a squad, it was this one. And that hurts, but we're going to get another chance next year, and hopefully we could. I think it's an outside shot, but hopefully we can win something next year, because this is a fun team, and they're a good team. And like you said, I think it would be folly to think, like, you know, we've had conversation in the writers' room about guys like Lamella, and like, oh, could we upgrade him and get someone who can score more goals? Like, look how much Lamella's game progressed this year. Like, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he finds his shooting boots next year and starts getting 10 goals a season or whatever. In the league, there's a lot of room for these players to grow. God knows what Dele Alli will look like this time next year, or Eric Dier even. Like, none of us expected this out of him. There's a lot of potential here that is still yet to be realized, and I think that's, you know, like you said, it's the beginning of something, not the end of it.
Yeah.
good point, Ben. Good point.
The future
I always
is
like
bright.
It.
The future is lily white.
There we go. Our next question, let's keep on this track. This comes from Win the Levy Breaks, which not Diamond Lights, but a very good username. He asks us to map out our ideal summer transfer window. Ben, you go.
So I think there's a few places. I mean, the biggest thing is depth. I mean, we saw how much we've struggled when our not first choice players had to come in, be it Chadley or Mason or Kieran Trippier or Ben Davis or Tom Carroll, Trippier, you know, even Heung-Min Son. You know, our first 11 has been great. And then I guess besides Vimmer, really, our backups have been wanting.
Well, Davies has been fine.
Yeah, he's been fine. But Davies was fine in a time when, you know, Rose was also fine, and we were like, man, we really wish like we could fuse them into one super fullback, because they both do things that we like and they both do things that are dumb. You know, now that Rose has hit the level that he's at, I don't think Ben Davis has really any claim to that left back spot.
No. But I think he's fine as a backup. Like, I'm perfectly comfortable putting him out there, and if Rose got hurt, it'd be like, okay, for a team with Spurs means, he's fine. Sorry, I've totally derailed your conversation.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. So we have guys we need to buy. You know, our biggest lack of depth issues are at striker, obviously, and in midfield. You know, Dier and Dembele, especially with Dembele only being able to play half to two-thirds of a season because of injury and fragility and rotation. You know, we're going to have the Champions League that we're going to need to take much more seriously. We're going to need guys that could come in and not be, you know, Tom Carroll against some Eastern European team being like, yeah, that's fine. Like, we need a guy who's Champions League quality, starting quality for this team. So,
well, and not just that, but like Dembele and the fullbacks are like the only three players on the team where Pochettino, who like seems to aggressively rotate. Like,
right.
He knows they need rest. So he understands that, like, I cannot run. And maybe that was part of why they fell out last year. He just didn't, you know, he didn't understand why Dembele wasn't fit. I don't know, but he seems to understand Dembele cannot play two games a week all the time. So we really need someone who can spell him there.
Right. So, I mean, I think, look, I love Dembele as much as anybody. You know, he is phenomenal at what he does. There are still shortcomings in his game. There are times when you want a guy who can pass the ball a little better, with a little more range, a little more creatively. You know, so I think the big buy is a central midfielder who can replace one of him or Dyer and play with either of them. That is my number one transfer want. You know, Morgan Schneiderlin, if you will.
So who do you think we could get for that? Do you have any names in mind?
I have no idea. I have no names. You know, there's this guy at Salzburg whose stat people really like, Naby Keita. Who the fuck knows? N'Golo Kanté is a name that...
Okay,
you know,
so let me rephrase the question. Do you think we're going to get a name, or do you think we're going to go get, like, midfield Vimmer? Like, just some black box guy that, like, no one has heard of.
It's so hard to gauge the market. And, you know, there's no obvious candidate. Like, Granit Xhaka is probably the biggest name midfielder who's probably going to be on the move that I can think of besides, like, Paul Pogba.
I would love to get him.
But Arsenal is heavily linked with them. And despite this season, Arsenal are still a bigger draw. They pay more, you know.
Well, they can
pay
more.
If they want him, they'll probably get him.
Yeah, they can pay more. Like, that's not to say that we might not pay more than they're willing to pay for him.
Right. Who knows? So, you know, I don't know. There might be a guy like that out there. It might be Xhaka himself. I don't know. I don't really care if it's a name or if it's Paul Mitchell thinks Idrissa Gueye from Aston Villa is just a good player on an unluckily shitty team, and he could come do a great job for us. I don't know. I don't care. I, you know, at this point, I trust the system we have in place to find those players to do a good job.
Yeah, if I didn't trust them before Vimmer, I certainly trust them now.
Right. So that's big. Like you said, the fullbacks we rotate every other game. And so as much as, Ben Davis is fine if he needs to, like, spell Danny Rose every now and again. I don't know that Ben Davis is fine to be our left back in a Champions League campaign every single game and still expect to do well in the Champions League. So I would really like to get new fullbacks to compete with Walker and Rose.
I just we can have a conversation about Trippier and if he can stick around, but like I'm telling you, like there's no way with our finances, with the way this team's gone, Davies is here. Rose and Davies is our left flank.
Probably, but I mean that's probably the lowest priority of the ones I've named, but we will suffer for it. I will predict if we don't upgrade him. But I think Kieran Trippier in the Champions League is going to be a fucking disaster.
Unless we're playing like Rostov or whatever, then maybe it won't be. But yeah.
I mean, who knows? We're going to get out of our group and go to a knockout game.
Well, I mean, the thing about Trippier is how often was he playing with Lamela this year? Because I think there's something...
Often enough?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think there's something to be said for Lamela giving him cover and it might be more acceptable. But yeah, we should look to do better than him.
And so, you know, we've talked about this a lot, but a striker who can play wide or in the attacking band as well, so we can have, like, a high-caliber player who isn't just sitting on the bench all the time. You know, I don't know if Michi from Marseille is that guy. I really have no idea how versatile his skill set is. He's a guy we're linked with a lot, just like Berahino. Who knows? But that's something we need. The other backup I really would like is a backup for Hugo Lloris. I don't think Michel Vorm is good at all. And again, you know, playing the occasional FA Cup match or whatever, fine. But
hey, I hate to break it to you. Vorm doesn't matter because there ain't no way in hell Hugo Lloris ain't playing Champions League matches for Spurs next year.
No, he's not. But again, we got really lucky with injuries this year. If Hugo goes down, like, we are fucked.
I guess.
That's what Tom Glover is just waiting in the background, sharpening his knife.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe Luke McGee or Tom Glover or that guy. I don't know. And then I guess another backup is a right-sided center back, which we don't have. We have Dyer. So, you know, if we buy two central midfielders and can use Dyer as our Toby cover, then great. But that's sort of the permutations that.
So this is a good springboard to some conversations about our transfer targets, because Pochettino was on French radio of all places today, and he talked most blatantly, openly. I've seen him talk about any transfer target since he's been here. He talked about Spurs are monitoring Michy, which is an open secret. We've all known that, but it was still interesting to see him openly say that. And he also talked about, Ben, you're going to have to help me out here. Do you know how to say this name? I'm going to screw it up. After you light up.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The defender, the one who was linked to Barcelona, what was his name? I'm going to say Erudio, but that's not correct. This is riveting.
What are you saying?
Umtiti.
Oh, yeah, Samuel Umtiti. Yeah, he plays for Lyon. He's like 22. He's really good. You may remember him as a left back playing against us in the Europa League many moons ago. I think probably 2013, where he scored a crazy screamer, Danny Rose-esque first-time volley into the upper 90 against us. He is now moved from fullback to center back for the past 2 years. I guess he still has that versatility to play left back, but at this point, he's a center back. And so it's weird because he's a left-sided center back, and we already have Vertonghen and Wimmer. And we've heard
that he likes left-sided on left, right-sided on right. Like, it seems
right
to be.
Pochettino has not played two left-footed, left-sided center backs together where at all possible.
I mean, maybe Wimmer's on his way out. That would seem weird given how well he played this year. You'd think we'd be thrilled to hold on to him.
I mean, if we're going to cash in on Vertonghen, who is now 29 years old, if Barcelona finally wants to pay us 25, 30 million for him, then...
Can Barcelona? Aren't they?
No, they're off.
They're off? Okay.
Real Madrid are about to go on a transfer ban, but Barcelona are off theirs.
Got it.
So, yeah, that's a target. He's a good player. It's a weird target.
It's just weird to see Pochettino openly talking about a guy like that. Who we have not been linked to, as far as I'm aware. Michy, obviously, we've been linked to, but we have not been linked to, Umtiti. And it's weird. It's just strange. Pochettino usually doesn't operate this way.
I can't hear his name without thinking of the Jawas from Star Wars.
There we go.
Umtiti!
Brian's not here, and we're still pleasantly racist. So
it's not racist. His name just sounds like the noise Jawas make.
Okay, good to know. I don't know. For me, you covered it broadly. I want a central midfielder that we can slot in for Dyer and or Dembele. I think that's important. I don't know if that's Kramer. I don't know if that's Xhaka. I don't know who that is. But I want someone there. And I don't care if it's a black box guy. I don't care if it's a name like the two guys I just talked about. But we need somebody there that we feel confident.
Honestly, and we probably need two people. I mean, there's two positions.
Two people would be ideal, but I'm sure we can okay, Dembele plays when this guy doesn't, and Dyer plays when that guy doesn't. And we can get at least one, and we can take it from there. The other guy, striker is obviously a priority, especially because I think Pochettino will probably use him as a late game sub when he's not starting. Giving Harry Kane a rest, especially after the Euros, I think is going to be important. I would like Michy. That seems like a good thing. Everything we've read about him, despite the fact that we keep being linked, talks a lot about his desire for playing time. And I know we'll have minutes to give him with Champions League and three other competitions. But, I don't know. If playing time is what he really cares about, then that guy's off to Juve or West Ham or not Spurs. Because, he's always...
I like how we put Juve and West Ham in the same category.
Well, thanks to the Premier League's TV deal. Those are the other two teams who have been linked to him, by the way, in case anyone thinks I'm just having a stroke. If playing time is the deal, even if Spurs utilize him as a second – even if we manage to play two strikers up top, even if we rotate him in heavily, even if we
– It worked for champions Leicester City.
But my point is
even if we do that, he is always going to be second banana at Spurs. I mean, there's no way. I mean, Harry Kane, for a whole variety of reasons, is always going to be the dude. So I don't see us getting Mishy. The other two strikers we've been explicitly linked to over the last few windows are obviously Little Bear, Saito Berahino from West Brom, and Moussa Dembele the Younger at Fulham. Ben, if you had to pick two things I want to know from you, of those three strikers, which is Mishy, Little Bear, and Dembele the Younger, who would you like us to get, and who do you think we're going to get, if it's one of those three?
I mean, Mishy is almost certainly the best player of the three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, I don't know what his versatility or other Dembele's versatility is, and I think that might be something that's important, especially for playing time purposes and rotation. So I don't know. I'd be fine if we ended up with Berahino. I think he's still a very good player. It's just he's certainly the least exciting. Dembele has that kind of youth upside of probably won't mind spending time on the bench. So that's nice for ego management. But I really couldn't even dare to speculate.
Yeah, would we get Dembele the Younger on a free? Isn't he out of contract?
I have no idea.
I believe he is. So maybe if we're spending a ton of money on a midfielder, we go cheaper up top. I don't know. I mean, Berahino's a weird player for me. I'm curious as your thoughts on this too, Ben, because we've all expressed skepticism that we'd still want him, given you know he did not handle what happened at West Brom all that well last year, although we don't know how much he was getting caught up in a power play between the owner and the manager, or just the owner being crazy. It seems, given the article that got released, that West Brom said he apologized and did his bit, and now he's going to be let go this summer. They're going to let him leave this summer. It seems like Spurs are still interested in him. Now, maybe they've had their head turned by Mishy or the other Dembele, but, I mean, are you at the point where it's just like, if Spurs still want him, you'll trust that? Or do you think, I mean, Yep. Are you still...
Okay. Yep, absolutely. I mean, he since that apology, whatever happened, like he's been back on the team. He's been playing pretty well. He scored some goals. He did miss two penalties against Aurelio Gomez the other week. but we have Harry Kane to take our penalties, so it doesn't matter.
Well, I'm sure one of those guys will be on the team next year, so it'll be an interesting window. Next up, we have a question. We talked about this a little bit earlier. This is from Aaron Miguel Santos on Twitter. That's at Aaron M. Santos. He wants to know, can this season be seen as anything other than a major success?
No. I mean, unless you're a lunatic.
Or an Arsenal fan.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of one and the same.
good work, Ben.
Yeah. No, this season is absolutely a success. And I know we're all probably feeling very sad right now in the wake of the West Brom match. But, you know, I think every one of us were expecting a fifth place finish at best, hoping for a Champions League spot. And now we're looking at, you know, fighting for a title with four games to go, finishing above Arsenal, even if we don't. I mean, qualifying for the Champions League is a lock.
Outright, like, yeah.
Like, this is the best season we've had in a very, very long time, unquestionably. So, no. I mean, it's not sad just, not to win the title, but, like, no, don't be stupid.
And it's not just that we have had the best season we've had in a long time, although that's also true. It's what you were saying earlier. It's like this, we really look like we're building the foundation of something. It doesn't look like we just caught a couple guys at the right moment in time, although I guess that's also true. But like, we really look like we're establishing something sustainable, at least for the short term. Who knows long term, but it looks like we're really building something interesting. And you know, Spurs are one of the most exciting young teams in Europe. I mean, it's just, there's a lot of places to go. Yeah. This season is, considering what all of our, I know certainly on this podcast, we had a lot of problems with Pochettino last year. This was a problematic Spurs team, and they answered, I think, almost all of our major concerns and just have looked great for the like almost the vast majority of the season.
Yep, and I think the other thing is, you said it, is exciting. I mean, this team has just been fun as shit to watch.
This isn't like ABB grinding out results. Like, this is...
Yeah, we have absolutely pasted some teams. I mean, we beat the shit out of Man United, Man City...
When's the last time we had a goal differential? When's the last time we had a goal differential that was like above two or five at the end of the year? Like, I feel like we always like, oh, we're fighting for fourth, but we're like 20 behind in goal differential between the team we're fighting with. So,
Yeah, and now we have the best attack and the best defense in the league. Like,
yeah, good thing we're winning the title.
But whatever. This team has been fun.
They're great to watch, and there's nothing to say that they won't continue to be fun next year, even if we're not as good as we were this year, which hopefully we will be.
Yeah, I mean, I think I will say we'll probably be as good as we were this year. We may not be as successful.
Yes, that's a very good that's a very good way to put it.
My only regret is, fuck, if we had just beaten Crystal Palace, we'd at least have an FA Cup final to look forward to.
Yeah, that is really annoying, especially because that is the definition of a game Spurs did not deserve to lose, which I feel like we've had too many of them. We talked about that against West Brom. We've had too many of these games where things just didn't go our way. And I don't know. Let's talk about that a little bit. Do you think – is that something systemic with Spurs, or is that just –
You know, I don't know. I mean, maybe you can raise some questions about Pochettino's game management and substitutions when things get tough, but mostly it just feels like shit just didn't bounce our way too frequently. Mm-hmm. I think it's just bad luck.
You know, obviously there's things this team can do better to sit on a lead. I don't think we're bad at it, but I think there's things we could do that are better. You know, we could obviously, just because we're Spurs, we always should be vigilant about how we handle corners. Although I don't think we did that bad a job on that this year. It's just
Robert Huth.
Yeah. You know, it's just one of those things. It's like we need to improve our depth, and we need to just like it's. I guess this isn't like a huge problem with Spurs, but I think we need to develop a better killer instinct, and I think we got better at that as the season went along. But you know, when we got a team on the ropes, like we did with Crystal Palace in the FA Cup match, when we have one like sort of West Brom in the first half this week, you know, we just have to sort of be a little more efficient. And that's like, I think that probably comes down to luck, and it's nothing we're doing, but we just have to sort of, and hopefully that's just an experience thing. This is a really young team, and hopefully going through this, they'll just be a little more vicious next year and not in the way where they punch guys in the stomach.
Yeah. So there's a stat that I'm like really inclined to read too much into.
Mm-hmm.
Leicester have drawn 4-1-1 games and won 7-1-0 games. Spurs have drawn 8-1-1 games and won 4-1-1 games. So basically the complete inverse. And you know, I'm tempted to read something into, you know, us being less ruthless, less efficient, less able to close out games like Leicester. You know, they were able to grind out those 1-0 victories and keep them from turning into draws, whereas, you know, we let those 1-0 victories get away from us and turn 3 points into one. But I really think at the end of the day, it's that Leicester were lucky and we were unlucky. And I think that's really the long and short of it.
Generally speaking, I think you're right. I don't think there's much. Yeah, it's not. I feel like all the things we need to fix are really within the margins, at least in the context of this year. And it's hard to point at something that we're doing wrong or that we didn't get better at as the year went on. So, but maybe we're just looking for positives. I don't know.
Always. Yeah, exactly. It's the Spurs way.
Exactly, the Spurs way. Ben, after the West Brom draw, which non-football fan did you take your rage out on? This comes from Danger Pele on the site.
I had a fight with my cat this morning. I think that was probably due to some residual West Brom anger.
Is it Kenny Mezzet?
No, God, no. He does have beady little eyes, though. I made a sandwich this morning before I went to work. I got up really early, and I was like, I'll make a sandwich while my wife's in the shower. And then I got out of the shower, and I came downstairs to go to work, and the cat had chewed through the plastic bag, through the Ziploc bag, and eaten half my sandwich. I screamed a lot at my cat and threw the rest of the sandwich at him.
You and Dele Alli might have something in common.
So, yeah, I'm going to say that is me taking out my West Brom rage on a non-football fan. My cat's fine. We're all good. I cleaned up the sandwich. It's fine. I'm not a monster. I sound like a crazy person.
Well, I'm going to sound like a monster because I took it out of my girlfriend. She called me right as the match had ended.
to see how my day had gone, and I was the sulkiest 12-year-old that had ever sulked. I was just, you know, on the line, fine, everything's fine, nothing's wrong. You know, I went home, put on some eyeshadow, and just listened to The Cure for like 10 hours straight. It was awful. But yeah, she definitely called me at like if she called me an hour later, I could have processed it a little bit. But I just like, you know, I was just working my way through it, and I felt like Charlie Brown, and I just wanted to walk with sad music in the background for a few minutes.
That should be the opening theme this week.
It should be. But that requires a little more effort than I'm willing to expend on this podcast. Ken DeSellis asks two very important questions. How much would you be willing to pay to for one of the Champions League group stage games next year? To attend one, rather.
I don't know. I don't know how much football tickets cost. I don't want to sound
typical,
like an ignorant American.
Typical
to be like,
American.
$50.
I would pay 3 shillings.
I would pay a fuckload. And I will say, while we're on the subject, that I think it's really, really wonderful that for White Hart Lane's last season, we get to send it off with a Champions League campaign. I think that's
pretty
beautiful.
Spectacular. There's going to be some great European nights next year, and that place is a great place to watch a football match. And, you know, it's really great that, you know, they're going to get to do that, and we're not going to have to close it out with matches against, like, Sheriff and, you know, like, yeah. Dynamo money bags from, like, Kazakhstan or whatever. You know, it's really cool. I don't know about you, Ben. Like, I'm going to make a significant effort to get over there to see a Champions League game at White Hart Lane, and it's... I will probably pay an amount of money that David Kahn could write a think piece about.
As you should.
I mean, I should.
I still have not been to White Hart Lane, so I mean...
Maybe we'll do a live pod. Maybe we'll do a live pod from White Hart Lane next year. No, we won't. We'll be too busy drinking and singing and yelling at people. So, but maybe... You're awfully quiet over there, Ben.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a really good idea.
Who wants this? We should open a Patreon. Let our listeners fund our trip to White. No one would pay for it. Okay. Finally,
if all of you contributed just $1. You could have the Wheeler Dealer Radio of a lifetime.
You could sit with us at the bus stop outside White Hart Lane for 2 whole minutes. Watch us hate each other in person. It's the experience of a lifetime. Watch people not laugh at my jokes in person for just $1 a podcast. It would be amazing. Okay. The final question from Ken, which I think is very important, is who is the guy on Tottenham Hotspur who vapes?
I don't know. I mean, I'm tempted to say Lamella just because he has that whole douchebag vibe. But I don't know.
Does he vape or does he go to hookah lounges a lot?
I feel like he's like too committed to, you know, his body and, you know, his performance to let that tarnish his lungs. I don't know. I don't know if I have a good answer. Who do you think vapes?
It's Dele Alli. I mean, you know, making poor decisions as a young man. Led astray by his older boyfriend. Like, yeah, it's Dele Alli. Like, you know, you can't see Dele Alli vaping at the club while he, like, hits on another guy's girlfriend. Like, come on.
Hits on other guys in front of Eric Dyer.
Yeah, exactly, that too. Or just hits other guys in front of Eric Dyer, which we've watched him do.
It's a beautiful mating ritual.
It is a beautiful mating ritual. And on that note, is a sad and abbreviated Wheeler Dealer Radio, but, you know, the hardcores, you know, the proper lads of Wheeler Dealer Radio wanted to make sure that you didn't have to go a week without a podcast to help work out your feelings. Ben, where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me at Gary Rootbeer on Twitter with a dark rain cloud over my head.
And they can find me on Twitter wondering when September will end. At Skipjack 0079. You can also follow my alt wrestling account, which is at Brett Rainbow. That's with 2 T's. So yeah, make sure to check both of those out.
So, for Ben Daniels and for the traitor Michael Caley and the absent Brian A., I'm your host, Skip Jack. Come on, you Springboards.